Now this time we are going to talk about a man named Abraham. He and his wife lived thousands of years ago, and one day the Lord spoke to him. If you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, you will see what the Lord said. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 begins, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." He had received a promise. The Lord had said, "I will make of thee a great nation." But you know, Abraham had no children, and he was then 75 years of age, so he was not a young man. But he believed God. Well, now if we turn on to chapter 15 of Genesis, we find that the Lord spoke to him again. Verse 1 of chapter 15. He said, "Fear not, Abram," this is halfway through verse, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Great reward. Now, what could that mean? Abraham said to the Lord, "What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." You see, the steward would normally be Abraham's heir and have his property when Abraham died, as Abraham had no children of his own. And to have children was in those days a great reward. But still Abraham had none. But the Lord had said, he said to him concerning Eliezer, "This shall not be thine heir." That's verse 4. He said, "No, you shall have a child of your own." In verse 5 we're told, he said to Abraham, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." His seed were his descendants, those who would come after him in his family. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, if we turn to the next chapter, that's Genesis 16, we find Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. So Sarah suggested that as she was old too, perhaps they had mistaken what God had meant. Perhaps he meant Hagar, their servant, should have a son instead of Sarah. That would have been quite in keeping with the law of the land in which they lived at that time. And so Abraham said, yes, all right, Hagar should have a child for them. And she did. But that was not what God meant. No. At the end of chapter 16, we are told Abraham's age when Hagar had that son. The last verse, "And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham." He was 86. The next verse, chapter 17, verse 1, tells us that Abraham was 99 when the Lord appeared to him again. So 13 years had passed between the birth of Hagar's son, and this next appearance of the Lord to Abraham. Again the Lord said, I will multiply thee exceedingly. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Then in verse 15, we find that God changed the name of Abraham's wife from Sarai to Sarah, and he said in verse 16, and I will bless her, and give thee a son of also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. She was the one who would have a child. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Well, it sounds an extraordinary thing to us, doesn't it? Old people like that do not normally have children. They are too old to look after them. The children would be too much work. But God had said that it should be so, and what God says is true. He stressed it too. Verse 19, God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Well, we can turn on a few more pages, and then we find Sarah had a son. Chapter 21, we find it recorded. And there we are again given the age of Abraham, verse 5 of chapter 21. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So now, how long did Abraham wait for his son? He was 75 when the son was first promised, when the Lord said to him, I will make of thee a great nation. And when Isaac was born, he was 100. That's 25 years Abraham waited for that son. What a long time. What a long wait. Now when that son was a young man, we have no idea how old he was, the Lord spoke to Abraham again. This time it was not a promise, but a test. This is chapter 22 of Genesis. In verse 1, God, we are told, did tempt Abraham. But a better word would be to test or to prove. The Lord was going to test Abraham to see how far he believed in the Lord. He called Abraham and he said, Abraham said, behold, here I am. And the Lord said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You see how he emphasized, thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. There was no mistaking who the Lord meant. Can you think of another son, an only son, whose father loved him? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's only son, whom the Father loved. Abraham was told to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. We don't make such offerings today because the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and there's no need for us to make animal offerings to God. But Abraham lived many years before the Lord Jesus Christ and needed to offer animals to God instead. In this case, he was to offer Isaac, his only son, whom he loved. Can you imagine his feelings? Well, he did as God told him. He rose up early in the morning. He prepared an ass, two young men, to go with him, Isaac, and some wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. They went quite a long way, and on the third day of their journeying, Abraham saw the place afar off, the place God told him to go to. He left the two young men, and he said something rather wonderful to them. Verse 5. He said, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." It's not very clear in the English, but the Hebrew makes it clearer. He said, "We will come again to you." But wasn't he going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering? Yes. But even so, he said, "We will come again to you." Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That is nearer the other end of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I am going to read verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You see, it's again stressed that Isaac was his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This is the important verse. He did it accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that God would raise up Isaac from the dead. Now that was wonderful faith, for the Lord Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead at that time. I don't think anyone had risen from the dead up to then. And yet Abraham believed that that would happen. Well, how else could God keep his promises concerning Isaac? Now we turn back to chapter 22 of Genesis. And I am going to read verse 6. Genesis 22, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took a fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. As they went along, Isaac asked his father, "Behold," this is verse 7, about halfway through it, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Did you notice that twice in those few verses it said, they went, both of them, together? That was verses 6 and 8. They were one in purpose and faith and love for God. They went, both of them, together. Now let us think of that other only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He and his father were one. They worked together. They went together. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. What a moment that must have been in Abraham's life. What faith he must have had. Perhaps it was easy beforehand to believe that God would raise Isaac from the dead. But I'm not so sure that it would be so easy just at that point when he took the knife to slay his son. God tested him right to that point. What a test it must have been. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Thine only son. I think Abraham must have been a wonderful man to stand that test and show such faith. You know, it was just as wonderful that God sent his only son to die on the cross for us. And let us read a little further. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The Lord had stopped him just at the last moment from slaying Isaac, but he had supplied a ram. There was the ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. He was there just when Abraham wanted him. And he offered that ram instead of Isaac. So the ram died instead of Isaac. And the Lord Jesus Christ died instead of us. God's only Son, whom he loved. He died instead of us. We deserve to die for our sins. but he died instead of us. So once again, let us just read together Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.